It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone. It's the 24th of May. God bless you on this Wednesday, and we thank you for joining us. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That was Psalms 122:1 and Psalms 118:24. My wife, undreamed of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together for worship. We ask that your spirit would teach us the things we need to know this morning. Please anoint the words of our pastor, fill him with your spirit, and help us always to grow in grace and in wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is, I Will Trust in the Lord.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time.
Our message today is how to be eaten by worms, how to be eaten by worms. We're studying Acts chapter 12. Now, nobody wants to be eaten by worms, so we're going to learn how not to be eaten by worms. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we study this precious truth today, we ask for your Spirit to abide with us and come and dwell in our hearts. We thank you for all that you have done. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaterions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. So, my brothers and sisters, the Bible says all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, persecution is what happens when a secular government, king, authority wants to please the church. And this is what you see. It says that he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. And so, my brothers and sisters, I want you all to understand our greatest enemy is not without. Our greatest enemy is within. And when you see politicians holding Bibles, politicians, clarification, a politician should hold a Bible. But when you see them wanting to be up front and being seen by the world holding a Bible, but in their character you don't see Bible religion, okay? If you're going to take a Bible, then live by the Bible, okay? Don't just have legislation and do things that you know are going to please the moral majority. That's how the Sunday law is going to be passed, because eventually the President of the United States, Congress, which includes the House and the Senate, will see that the moral majority, the majority of the people, are calling for a unity supposedly on points of faith because God is angry and they want to appease God. And what they're doing is what you see in our society today is demoralization. That's the devil's plan. He uses, and listen carefully because you might not like this, but it's the truth. Well, he uses both, but by some people's account, he uses the Democrats to demoralize the country. You know, you can sleep with whoever, whatever. You can be whatever, whoever, according to a lot of Democrats, according to the main faction of the Democratic Party. You can love this man, love this woman, love both. Love either. I mean, you know, and it's supposed to be protected by the Constitution, of course. That's what they say. So the goal is to confuse us as to what the Constitution really protects, because you've got to get rid of the Constitution in order to pass a Sunday law. But then the Republicans might seem to be moral, but they're not. Just look at all the different things going on, the actions, accusations, statements by presidents. Grabbing women certain places and lots of things that's going on even right now today. And brothers and sisters, I'm not picking on any one president. I mean, it's just immorality, whether you're Democrat, because there's this thing called sin and sexual sins. It's just so prevalent today. You know, I was talking with someone just yesterday, and we were discussing how if I walk into a home and a woman was in a bra and panties, I would run the other way. If she's godly, I would run the other way because it was a mistake. Just happened to be in the living room. I didn't know. Maybe I went to the wrong house, you know, whatever. I would run out the door, and she would run into the bedroom, and with her right hand, she would cover her chest, and with her left hand, she'd be covering her lower areas while she's running, okay? You go to the beach, and they lay out and show more than is shown in a bra and panties, and it's all right. As a matter of fact, if you go outside in your bra and panties, you will be arrested for indecent exposure. But you will not be arrested for indecent exposure if you have on a bikini. But the bikini shows more than the bra and panties. You see, that just shows you how crazy the world is. It's just mixed up. And so, my brothers and sisters, demoralization is happening everywhere, both parties, everybody, people that aren't even in those parties. But what happens is when you add to the demoralization, the weather, crazy weather, destruction everywhere, hurricanes galore, tornadoes like we've never seen before, earthquakes beyond comprehension. Then you add to that pandemics, which are coming again, okay? More are coming, by the way. The Bible calls it pestilence. See, this is all a fulfillment of prophecy. The Bible says, because iniquity abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's the same chapter that talks about the second coming of Jesus. It's going to be abounding iniquity. And so what's going to happen is, with all the weather patterns, the destruction, with all the pandemics, the death and sickness, with all the demoralization, people are going to say, wait a minute, we've got to get back to God. But instead of humbling themselves to say, what does God say? How does God say we should come back to him? They're going to listen to the Pope. And the Pope, which has already said, he is pushing for the climate change, and he's pushing for a climate Sunday. The Pope is pushing for the goal that he has, is that the whole world, under their command, worship on Sunday. You see, I'll read something to you that Roman Catholics say. I've read this before, but I want to read it again because we need to understand it. This is all Catholic statements, brothers and sisters. It says, Sunday is our mark of authority. The church is above the Bible. And this transference of Sabbath observance is proof of that fact. That means they're saying they transferred the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. That was from the Record of London, Ontario, September 1, 1923. Sunday is our mark. Now, I'll read one more. It says, of course, the Catholic Church claims that the change Saturday Sabbath to Sunday was her act, and the act is a mark of her ecclesiastical authority in religious things. That's H.F. Thomas, Chancellor of Cardinal Gibbon. Now, what is the significance of that word mark? Well, guess what? If you go to Revelation chapter 13, brothers and sisters. In Revelation 13, this is what it says in verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise out of the sea. So let's talk about a beast. Having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his crown, seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, his mouth the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him. Now, I'm going to skip down because another beast rises out of the earth. It's in verse 11. And I'm going to just tell you that I can prove to you, if you want more information, contact me. I can prove to you without a shadow of a doubt, the beast I just mentioned is the Roman Catholic Church, because the Bible says a beast is a nation in Daniel chapter 7, verse 24. And this second beast that rises out of the earth is the United States of America, okay? So if you look at what the United States does, it says, verse 16, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, okay? Now, it says in verse 15, the verse above that, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, so it would make a copy of the beast and that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And so what you basically see when you read this, it says Verse 12, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. So the mark of the beast was mentioned. And the purpose of this new beast, the United States, is what I'm telling you it is to cause you to worship the first beast. Well, Jesus said in Matthew 15:8, in vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. We just read from the Roman Catholic Church that their mark of authority is Sunday worship. That's what they say. The mark of the beast is the enforcement of Sunday, and it's going to come from the United States, brothers and sisters. That's why you see all the LGBT movement, to demoralize the country, okay, and remove God's blessing. That's why you see all the pandemics. That's why you see all the weather patterns. The devil is working toward a goal so that we will be so scared. And the world, why do you see that we're about to collapse financially, brothers and sisters, if they don't come to a deal? I guess there may this time come to a deal. But this happens over and over again. It gets closer and closer to the window. America is headed for financial collapse. America is headed for great pestilence. That means much more pandemics, more people dying of disease. America is headed for greater weather disasters, and it's going to cause the people to forget their freedom. They say, listen, we forget the Constitution. We just want to make sure God is with us, and you'll have the moral majority telling you, well, we better get back to Sunday worship. And that is the mark of authority of the papacy, the Roman Catholic Church. That's what they want. And everybody's serving them and wandering after him, and they don't know he has an agenda to take over the world again. You see, when Roman Catholicism came to power in 538 AD, they persecuted people. You know, we talk about slavery. We talk about the Holocaust. There is no greater catastrophe than the Dark Ages. I would say countless millions of people were killed because they wanted to follow the scriptures. And we have forgotten our history. That's where Protestant came from. Protestant is a protesting of the Roman Catholic Church's policies. What were those policies? The arbitrary authority of the church. That was policy number one. We were to protest against that. But what is the arbitrary authority? We're the church. We're the only church. Stay on the ark. Stay on the ship. Doesn't matter what we do. We're the church that's going through. You ever heard that before? You'll hear that in some Sabbath-keeping persuasions, brothers and sisters, and Sunday-keeping persuasions. Whatever the pastor says, that's what we do. No, that's not what Jesus taught. Or the apostles taught. They taught that you should listen to the leadership. Take it home. Go to the scriptures and see if they're telling you the truth. If they're not telling you the truth, try to correct them in love. If you can't correct them, don't follow them. Follow Christ, my brothers and sisters. That's what you see in the Bible. And you have a lot of people deceived on this point. The church is not a corporation, an organization that is set up by man. A corporation is a creation of the state. And I'm not into all this non-501c3 type stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just here to tell you that God's church is not created by man in any shape or form. It's not a trust. It's not a corporation. It's God's people who teach the truth, my friend. And a lot of people who teach the truth that may not be supportive of a corporation here, they need to be careful because there's a lot of pride among us, brothers and sisters. And we're going to learn about that as we continue in this chapter, a lot of pride. So I'm just beginning here to tell you, it says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. That's going to happen, and that's the type of thing that's going to happen before the end of the world. The secular authorities are going to try to please the moral majority of Christians who are Sunday keepers, and they're going to turn against Sabbath keepers, and we will be considered worse than terrorists. So those of you who have turned against people who are falsely accused, you're going to reap what you sow. Now, you never thought about that. Be careful what you hear, brothers and sisters. Check things out. If you hear, especially that a brother in the faith or sister in the faith has done something wrong, don't credit it. That's called taking up a reproach. God requires, if you would change your posture toward that person, if you know that person, if that person is involved in your circle, God requires you to go to that person and say, listen, things are being said. I'm just coming to the source. And I'll tell you, some of us understand what that's like to be falsely accused, but all of us are going to be falsely accused. And those who don't do this, you're going to feel the wrath You're going to feel what it feels like to have all your friends turn away from you and all your supporters turn away from you and people run from you and people not wanting to be associated with you. You're going to feel that, and it's going to come doubly towards you because you took up a reproach against your brethren, okay? What God requires is that we give people an opportunity to clear themselves, and that's how you know. Then you at least have something to know. You have the facts in front of you in which to pray about. He said this, she said that. You don't know which one. At least, hey, Lord, I'm going to have to leave this in your hand. Or you can clearly say, okay, he was wrong. I can see it, but you at least gave him or her the opportunity to do that. And so, my brothers and sisters, we're not preparing for the end of time in a lot of different ways because you're going to be falsely accused, my brothers and sisters, of the most heinous things. They accused Jesus. They brought false witnesses. If we were at Christ's time, we would have believed those false witnesses. I believe women came in and said Jesus tried to rape them. And they said, oh, wow, he did. He tried to do that. I believe that they didn't even check to see if it was true. Okay? And we just changed our posture toward Jesus. That's how some of us who act this way today would have acted back then, brothers and sisters. And so we have to be careful, and we have to understand we're preparing for a crisis. Let's make sure our preparation is godly preparation. There's a lot of things we don't think about when it comes to preparation. We think about, oh, we've got to teach the truth. We've got to teach it with power. We've got to expose the Pope. And we are so far from the character of Jesus. What you need is to be like Jesus. Jesus was kind, meek, loving, lowly, mild, and we have forgotten that. Some preachers are untouchable. You can't talk to them. You can't reach them. They're just up there preaching. You see, that's not what pastors did, brothers and sisters. Pastors came close to the people, trained other people to be pastors, and they continue to reach out and go and spread the gospel. Anyway, let's keep reading. So we understand clearly what's going to happen. This is what happened at that time. And when he had apprehended him, this is when Herod took Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. They knew that the Holy Spirit on these people was so powerful that he had to put 16 soldiers to guard Peter. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. If it's not your time to die, and if God doesn't want you in prison, they could put you under the prison and build a concrete fortress over you. God's going to get you out. There is nothing that man can construct, no number of people that man can put to guard you that will cause you to be in their hands if God wants you out of their hands. And it was not Peter's time, and let's see what happens. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Brothers and sisters, when it gets to be a certain way, all of us, we just need to pray without ceasing. Sometimes we need to just come together and just pray. And just pray for 24 hours. Everybody might not be able to pray the whole time for 24 hours, but in 24 hours, somebody's praying. Somebody might need to go rest and, you know, get a little break, whatever. But they prayed without ceasing for Peter. And when Herod would have brought him forth, and by the way, this word Easter, we have to understand he was going to bring him forth after Easter. That was the Passover. The Passover was, so this is probably about a year or so after Jesus died because he died on the Passover time. We have to understand that translators from King James wrote this. They put it in Old English, which is, you know, kind of converted to newer English today, even though it maintains some of the these and thous. So that was what they called it, and that did come from a pagan word. They worshipped the god or goddess Ishtar, which was the fertility goddess around the springtime because the pagans who didn't even know God, they thought a lot of paganism has sexual perversion in it, and they thought the gods and goddesses were having sex, and that's why the plants would grow. You know, the earth was having sex with itself or with other planets or whatever. They have all kind of crazy thoughts, and that's why plants grow in the spring. See how paganism is so crazy. And because one of the most fertile animals is the bunny rabbit, that's why the bunny rabbit is associated with Easter, friend. Yeah, now you know, because they have more babies than most animals, okay? Rabbits can look at each other and they're going to have babies. Now, I just made that up, but they are very, very highly fertile and they have a lot of offspring. And so because they do come together in copulation a lot and have a lot of babies. That's why the bunny rabbit is associated with Ishtar, Easter, okay? So when the Roman Catholic Church took over, they took paganism and they Christianized it. So they took the birthday of Tammuz, which was December 25th, and they made it the birthday of Christ, okay? They took this goddess Ishtar and the fertility goddess, and they called it Easter and said, okay, we're going to make this in light of the death of Christ and the Passover and the resurrection of Christ, so on and so forth. They Christianized these pagan teachings, okay? And then you'll go to churches and you'll see Easter egg signs, Easter hunts, and all this stuff outside the churches. I just don't recommend that. I know you're trying to engage the children, but I think you should pick something else to engage them with. That you could tell the children, we're going to hunt for Bible verses that have been put on pieces of paper and put in little boxes or something. You know, you don't have to do Easter eggs. But nonetheless, that's where that came from, my friend. Just to share with you, we've come a long way. All right, from the truth. They prayed without ceasing, and when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, was Peter sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So not only did they have him in 14 soldiers, let me see, 16 soldiers, they made sure his right hand was bound to one soldier, his left hand would be bound to another. They're going to make sure Peter doesn't get out. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off of his hand. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Sometimes God can do some things for you when prayer is heard, that is so powerful that you yourself are going to think you're dreaming. You're going to have to pinch yourself. You know, brothers and sisters, God has promised the undreamed of. He will give you the undreamed of when you follow him. Okay? So Peter was so amazed at what God had done, he thought he was in a dream. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. That's amazing. God put He put a trance of sleepiness or a blindness over all those 16 soldiers, and they saw nothing. God made Peter invisible, had his chain just fall off his hands, and it didn't even wake the soldiers. And they just went through the doors just miraculously opened, and Peter and the angel went through. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety. He probably was pinching himself, making sure, is this me? Am I free? Start feeling the stuff on his hand, see if the chains are really off of his hand. And when Peter was come to himself, verse 11, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. This is what emotion does to you. The servant of the Lord is trying to get in to safety, and you hear him knocking, and you hear his voice, and you're just so amazed, you just run in instead of open the door, lady. But she just ran in. That's just how emotion is. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But he comes. Now watch this. What were they doing? They were praying all night for Peter's deliverance. You see, sometimes we pray, but then when God answers the prayer, we don't even believe it. Call a person mentally ill when they tell us God answered your prayer, he's right here, you must be mentally ill. Well, you don't believe what you just prayed about. And they said unto her, thou art mad, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, in other words, he said, be quiet, be quiet. declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. Where'd he go? The soldiers see one on the other, one side, he's still bound, but the chain is empty. The other on the other side, the chain is empty. They were in trouble because their lives were held in at stake if they let Peter go. And when Herod sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. See, that's why you shouldn't work for people, brothers and sisters, who are evil. I'm just talking about when you don't have to. I mean, I know some of us have jobs and I'm not talking about you got a job and your boss is evil. I'm just talking about if you have an opportunity to work for Jesus, when you work for these people, brothers and sisters, they are cruel. Herod knew that God had delivered Peter. He knew that, but he's still out of his pride going to make it seem like it was a human error. And so he had all those 16 soldiers killed, but nothing. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him. And having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration. He made a speech unto them, and the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. We're learning how to be eaten by worms, friend. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. Friends, let me tell you something. When people tell you, you are awesome, you are awesome dresser, you better give God the glory. And I don't mean just, you know, to God be praised. A lot of people in pride love all that kind of stuff, but they'll say the right thing. Oh, yeah, God is to be praised. You'll see famous mega church preachers looking all humble, but they're really proud. You better have humility seriously where you really give God the glory. Oh, you preach so good. Hey, you know, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You look so good. That'll get you. Girl, that'll mess you up. Somebody telling you, somebody the opposite sex in this day and age, the same sex, telling you how pretty you are and how handsome you are, and they've got motives, okay? You better watch out. That causes you to, oh, yeah, I am. You know, you better give God the praise. So the best way I can explain it is God is showing us what's going to happen when we don't give up pride, okay? He was so proud that he did not give God the glory. He accepted that he was like a god because of his speech. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem, and when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So let me give you a couple of scriptures, brothers and sisters, to chew upon. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. There's a lot of pride in the world. There's a lot of pride in the church. You don't find too many ministers, preachers, that will ever hear the words, I'm sorry. And please understand, yes, there are times in this world they've made enough mistakes that they should have said it by now. You can't be in this world and get everything right. You will sometimes have to say, I apologize. The disciples did. Peter messed up. He tried to, there was a time, we haven't gotten there yet, where he was ashamed to hang out with Paul, because Paul was hanging out with the Gentiles, and Paul had to, the Bible said, resist him to his face. Paul messed up. Paul actually took the Nazarite vow. God didn't tell him to do that, and that actually caused a premature death for Paul. The disciples made mistakes, but they humbled themselves. They apologized. They spoke that, hey, we didn't do this right. You see, ask a preacher today to say, you know what? I'm sorry. I taught something that was not right, and I'm going to correct it today, and I want to apologize. You see, that's humility, brothers and sisters. You don't have people. It doesn't even have to be preachers. People in the church, something goes wrong. We won't just say, you know what? I messed up. I'm sorry. And I want to tell you, that's why God can't use, and that's why God can't bless a lot of people, because they have a lot of pride. Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Read Proverbs 16, brothers and sisters. A lot of gems in there. And then guess what? Have arguments, fussing, fighting, bad marriage, problems on the job, problems with your family, with your children, with your parents. Guess what the Bible says in Proverbs 13:10? Only by pride cometh contention, and with the well-advised is wisdom. So, brothers and sisters, when there is contention among two people or two or more people, the only reason for that contention is pride. Get rid of the pride, you'll get rid of the contention. That's simple. The Bible is powerful. It gives a simple solution. Marriage messed up, somebody's pride, because only by pride comes contention. Sometimes it's the wife, sometimes it's the husband, oftentimes it's both. Somebody won't say, I'm sorry. Somebody won't forgive somebody who said they were sorry. And, you know, brothers and sisters, we are messed up, a messed up people. But the solution is there. We just have to be like Jesus. Now, Jesus never had to say, I'm sorry, because he never made any mistakes. And we can be like Jesus, and that's our goal. We want to be so close to him that in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. We mess up because we don't always acknowledge him. We don't always say, Lord, how do I handle this situation? We just handle it the way we think is right. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25. There is a way, one of them said, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. The other one said, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but everything else in the scripture is the same, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Okay, Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25. So, brothers and sisters, we can't trust our own way. We have to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not into our own understanding. There's too much pride, too much thinking we know the way, we know what to do in all situations. You don't know. I don't care if you got 50 years of experience. There's still something to learn because every case is different. My brothers and sisters, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. Bless us now as we transition to wellness. Help us to be humble vessels that you might use us in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, friends, we're going to go ahead and have our torso song. After that, we will hear from Sister Lenny, who will be giving our health message for today. And the message is entitled, let me get the title for you, so you know, have something to look forward to. She's going to be sharing with us on the subject, the prevention of disease and its cure by rational methods. The prevention of disease and its cure by rational methods. That's the next voice you will hear, or you will hear her voice after we have, I'll probably introduce her, or call for her, but we will hear from Sister Lenny after our torso song.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered, and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vows.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and come and see.
We'll now hear from Sister Lenny on the topic, the prevention of disease and its cure by rational methods. Sister Lenny.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday. The prevention of disease and its cure by rational methods. The distinction between prevention and cure has not been made sufficiently important. Teach the people that it is better to know how to keep well than how to cure disease. Our physicians should be wise educators, warning all against self-indulgence, showing that abstinence from the things that God has prohibited is the only way to prevent ruin of body and mind. Our people should become intelligent in the treatment of sickness without the aid of poisonous drugs. Many should seek to obtain the education that would enable them to combat disease in its varied forms by the most simple methods. Thousands have gone down to the grave because of the use of poisonous drugs, who might have been restored to health by simple methods of treatment. Water treatments, wisely and skillfully given, may be the means of saving many lives. Let diligent study be united with careful treatments. Let prayers of faith be offered by the bedside of the sick. Let the sick be encouraged to claim the promises of God for themselves. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Christ Jesus, the Savior of men, is to be brought into our labors and counsels more and more. If you are having some health challenges, try some natural remedies. Don't be so quick to take drugs that will hurt you in the long run. For instance, if you're having some problems with your eyes, try the castor oil eye drops. Organic hexane-free castor oil eye drops. I know I was having problems with my right eye, just pain. Don't know why, but when I did that, it helped me. I did both eyes, and I wiped them on my eyeballs with that cotton ball. It really, really helped. If you're having problems with your teeth, especially pain, try some baking soda rinses. Place a wet cotton ball with baking soda on it. Place it on the painful area, and it will take the pain away. If you're having painful joints, try some warm magnesium Epsom salt baths. It will relieve your pain. I know some things some people use may not help others, so just seek out other methods that you think might help you. They will benefit you. Believe me, they will. But the main prevention of disease is the live-free lifestyle. Make it a part of your life. Loving God, including temperance, vital water, eating healthy, getting fresh air, rest, exercise, and enjoying sunlight. You won't be sorry. When I was very sick, I didn't know about the live-free lifestyle. I didn't know about natural remedies. But when these methods was introduced to me, as sick as I was, they helped me. And I'm here today. They helped me. I didn't take medication. They helped me. Choose what you know you can do for yourself. You won't be sorry. This morning's health segment is coming from the Medical Ministry, page 221 and 227. Thank you so much. Have a healthy day today. God bless you.
Amen. That was a blessing, blessing. It's roll call time. We have on Facebook, I'm pretty sure we have South Carolina, we have Florida, we have Virginia, we have Georgia, and I'm pretty sure I got everybody on Facebook that I know. And on the call, we have Ohio, we have Alabama, we have Maryland, we have Delaware, Desiree. We have Delaware, Delaware, and Delaware again. We have Ohio, we have Maryland, and we have Missouri. Phone lines are open. We've got about 10 minutes to the top of the hour, plenty of time. Anyone has anything you'd like to share? If you're typing, if you're on Facebook, just go ahead and type any comments you have. Of course, we've got some things that were typed when we were preaching and teaching. Amen, Pastor, good morning, brethren, type messages. Thank you all for that on Facebook. If you have anything else, just go ahead and type it. Those on the call, just press *6 and share anything you would like to share at this time. This is sharing and caring time. Amen. While you're thinking about sharing, just keep the ministry in prayer, brothers and sisters. The Lord obviously has reassigned us. When I say reassigned, part of our assignment was to take care of my mother. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother that thy days may be long upon the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. We made a commitment that when we got married, if our parents needed our help, we would be there for them, and we were. So that aspect of our assignment is over. So we're reassigned. By the grace of God, a great work is to be done. The people have to be taught, warned, helped, and we want God to use us. So pray for the ministry. Be supportive as best you can, but you can all be supportive with your prayers. All right, we have Sister Donna on the call. We'll take that call. Good morning, Sister. Bless you.
Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. You know, Pastor Shalom, I just wondered if you wanted to at this time share with us what your new what you'll be doing from this point forward. Is anything changing, any new stuff? I'm just, you know, wondering, that's all.
Sure. At this point, we're just able to do more efficiently what we always did. In other words, we're able to travel more. We weren't able to do that as much. We're able to be more efficient in getting the training school. So we're working real hard on trying to wrap that up with the materials for the training school. So just, you know, what we're called to do, we feel like the reassignment is we're able to do it more efficiently. You know, when you care for somebody, it takes a lot of work. And they have need, and you're limited in what you can do as far as ministry. We always did ministry full time out there, and it helped that it was two of us. But now we're able to just do it more efficiently. Like, for example, we both have already done some traveling and ministering and that type of thing since even my mom's passing. And mom would want us to do that. So that's basically it. Medical missionary work, teaching the gospel, preaching. The broadcast continues, and we're just letting him lead from there.
Oh, okay. Okay, the schooling sounds excited. Please keep me posted on that and how you'll be coming together with that. That may be something that I would be interested in participating in. And I also wanted to ask for your continued prayers for my daughter who's back in the hospital. And today is my birthday, so God is good, right?
Amen. Happy birthday, sister. Happy birthday.
Well,
amen.
All I wanted to say this morning, again, thank you very much, you and Sister Maria, for all that you do, and you have my love and my wishes for the very best that God has to offer for both of you and your family. Thank you, everyone on the line, and everyone have a blessed day. Bye.
Amen, amen, amen.
A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. May you keep Jesus near every day of the year. Happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you, the best that you ever had.
Amen. That song has another portion to it. I'll call you and sing the whole thing to you a little bit later by the grace of God. All right, friends. Is there anybody else that would like to share anything? We have about 5 minutes to the top of the hour. All right. We'll turn it over to my wife to close us out, my wife undreamed of, Sister Maria. God bless you all.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for your word, and we ask that we will continue to allow your spirit to teach us the things we need to know. We thank you for Sister Donna. Today's her birthday, Lord, and we thank you for giving her this day to be able to have another year that has been granted from you to her. We ask that you would be with her daughter. We understand she's back in the hospital, and we ask that you will work everything out in accordance with your perfect will. We pray for everyone on this line that you will work out all of our issues, all of our problems, as we cast them onto you, Lord, because we know that you're able to do the impossible to us, but it is always possible with you. And we ask that you will help us to be faithful to you, to serve you faithfully, and to be able to convert our lives over to you, allowing you to use us in these days that are less, that are here, Lord, but we know that we are living in these last days, and we ask that you will help us to do all we can to be able to receive our crown to life. Let us be committed to you and be committed to your work and to be of service to others. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will.